Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. How you feeling this morning, Slee?
He lost it.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird.
I don't have like a ton of other adjectives to throw at that other than, well, stupid. That's another one.
Don't say to throw at that.
Yeah.
Say
weird, stupid, unnecessary, unprovoked.
Maybe it was a bet that we didn't know about. I feel like John does that a lot. He has bets and, you know, it's long going.
Mythical money that he could break a piece of glass against the wall. I don't know.
I'm just glad
that it didn't break for your sake, Sleek, for my sake, for our sake, yeah. As the 7-10
that was a little interesting.
Title winners that went 0-1.
I think okay there.
Where's the trophy now, Sleek?
It is currently sitting in the back of my locker.
Of course it is.
Is it locked?
It's not locked.
You better
lock
it.
Surprised he didn't leave it on the street. Just somebody could come and pick it up.
But I think there could be no items that can be thrown when John comes in for crosstalk.
Yeah, we're going to have to batten down the hatches in here. Yeah. Like he's going to pick up a monitor, your laptop.
Get his hands together, zip tie his hands so that he can't like get any momentum going towards something.
It's a good idea. Yeah,
that's all weird.
It was a lot. I'm glad they're billing him for the dent in the wall. That seems like the least that they could do. My trophy is prominently displayed.
You already put it up?
Oh, yeah. I went home, took it out of its little velvet-lined case and put it right there.
Yeah.
It's heavy. So I have a bookshelf directly behind where I sit when I do my podcast and things like that. So that thing, it's a big, heavy piece of glass. So it has to be kind of on a lower shelf because
if I ever bump into that
thing and it comes tumbling down on me, that could be the end of me.
So that's exactly the place that I'm going to eventually put it. The problem is that thing just moves a little bit. It's just like
it's heavy.
Yeah, but the actual shelf that I have is so not sturdy that everything's going to go down in front of it. Rookie's already scared of
Rookie
every time it moves.
How did Sliwa die? Well, it's a funny story. See, he was really good at pickleball, and he won a trophy, and then Rookie saw the mailman and went nuts.
It's over. And
bumped into it, landed on Slee's head, and that was the end of Slee.
One fire truck.
Fire truck sent him around the bend.
He's better with him now, but just like every dog, they just think like the
world's
about
them. The UPS truck used to make my dog go bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, UPS specifically, like a FedEx truck goes by,
everything's
nothing.
Fine.
You know, a delivery, Amazon didn't exist back then, but it was UPS specifically, that truck, and I don't know if it was the color of the truck, I don't know what it was. Something would send that dog around the bend.
Trash man, the garbage trucks, so those are the ones that are kind of bad for Rookster.
So yesterday, obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about pickleball.
Yep.
The fact that you and I won the trophy for the best 7-10 team.
Okay, I have a question for you on that. Because as the day progressed, I think we're both surprised. I don't think we had any idea what was going on. Did you know there was another tournament? Like when we were playing on Saturday, we weren't playing for anything other than we just wanted to keep playing.
That's
correct.
My understanding, yeah.
Okay, so then we're on the same page. Because I had no idea we were doing a tournament.
No, okay, well, no, I did not know that there was like a trophy or a prize or we were advancing through it. We were just, hey, you guys want to play a little more? Yeah, let's play
more
a little
like
more.
More like pick up pickleball.
It was pretty good. Sedano and Cap were talking about us yesterday and talking about our pickleball performance. And Cap, I think, was trying to say nice things about me, but this is how it came out.
It pains me, George, today to come on the radio and admit that we got our asses handed to us.
We did.
By Travis and Sliwa.
We did, totally.
And it happened in such a flash.
Right, it was over before we knew it.
Right, like I can't even tell you analytically like what went wrong.
I mean, I can tell you what went wrong.
Tell me.
Travis was a monster at the net.
Yep, true.
I mean, he just slammed it every time he got a chance, and we had nothing, we could do nothing about it.
Just had no answers for him.
Yeah.
Travis is one of those guys, like when it comes to these kinds of games, I'll compare like a racquetball or a squash, not that I really know squash.
Well, he was a college baseball player.
So. I understand, but when you're a big guy and you're not like overly mobile or athletic, if you know the angles of the game.
Right, and a baseball player would know the angles really well.
You don't need to move.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying Travis didn't move. I just don't remember him moving.
I think that's a compliment. Not overly mobile or athletic. I think he moved. I just don't remember him moving.
By the way, when you have to go into all the details and they got to give analogies and examples, that's the best.
I do know the angle, Slee.
Okay, so I do agree that we just started playing them. I mean, let's be honest. Sedano had a mic in his pocket. Yes. So I wish Sedano put the mic down because I think he was trying to MC while we were playing.
He was.
He's all business.
But you took up. That's the thing that made it so easy for someone like me on the back line. You took up so much space right in the beginning. How do you get it past you? You said it yesterday. You think I had to hit it at my chest or hit it at my feet?
Or one other place.
Or there.
Yeah, there are three places where I was going to be fairly defenseless. Chest, feet, and
left ear.
You got nutmegged a couple
of
times.
Left ear.
Yeah, I did. Well, I played one off my belly, too. I did take one directly off the belly that I played out of the air that was pretty good. But I deeply appreciate Cappy paying me the compliment of someone who's not particularly athletic but knows the angles that's why we were as good as we were.
We got our asses handed to us.
We did.
By Travis and Slee.
We did.
We'll take it. Get your put your trophy in your house. Don't leave it in that cubby hole.
No, it will go home. It will go every day before I go to bed. I will say a prayer to the big man above, and then I will also look at that and do the sign of the cross.
Sounds like a good idea. I think I'm over it. I think that I am fully and completely over
the rain.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's exactly where I was headed.
Got to be honest with you. We need it. I mean, right now to kind of soak in.
Do we?
We just really need this.
You guys have heard me say this. So when I come up from where I live in the downtown, I cross over the LA River every morning, right? And for the last 2 months, it's just been filled with water, really high levels, and it's moving quickly. And I kind of just looked at it today. I'm like, yeah, same as always. Like I just before, it's like, oh my gosh, there's water in the LA. Look at that. Like there's an actual river running through the middle of LA. I'm ready for it to be over. I like the rain. I enjoy the rain. To your point, Slee, we certainly needed the rain. We've replenished a lot of our reservoirs, but I am ready for the sun to come out. I'm ready for a couple of 80-degree days. I'm ready to be outside more than one or two days at a time. I'm officially done.
Did you ever see A River Runs Through It?
I did.
Do you ever remember that movie? It was basically, if I'm right, I haven't seen it in a long time. It was fly fishing, right?
It was.
We should go to the LA River and start fly fishing.
I don't really know what you want to get from that because I'm not sure if it's all going to be fish that you
the bodies.
Yeah.
Needles.
We're going to get a couch.
Lots of trash.
A couch, some trash, everything else. But that's how much water we got in the rivers. Let's get in there.
It's quite a bit. I'm done. My
really
lawn is all like you can't even walk through the grass. You just sink down into it. The entire neighborhood looks like post-apocalyptic because everything has been growing and nothing's been cut back in a long time. I'm ready.
I said this in that like real first initial storm. I'm like, guys, in a couple weeks, it's all gone. The weather's going to be great. I keep looking at the 10-day forecast. Keep looking 10 days out. It's still like a high of 61.
And 3 or 4 days of rain in those 10 days, right? It's like this. I didn't sign up for Portland. This is not what I'm doing
How's
here.
How's your that abandoned table doing in the background? Is it now?
Oh, that's
fully
long. No, the abandoned
decomposed
table. It had been fell up. It literally like disintegrated when I sat on it that day. So we got most of the chunks into the trash over the last several months. So it's basically gone.
We should basically, the real estate prices should start dropping towards what Portland is now. I mean,
I think Portland's also pretty expensive as well.
Portland's not Topeka. Portland's still pretty expensive.
We'll go with Phoenix then.
Phoenix. Not super cheap either. You're going to have to go to the middle. Things on the sides are very expensive.
Go to Kentucky or something like that.
Kentucky, Kansas, Oklahoma. Like the edges are kind of expensive. The middle is
seems
what you
like
want.
Nothing compared to us.
I gotta tell you guys, I feel like an ancient woman because I have problems when it rains. My joints really hurt, and I think maybe I have early arthritis, which really sucks. But whenever it rains, my knees, and my back really hurt, and I feel like again I'm like an ancient.
Did you get struck
soothsayer.
By lightning when you were a kid or something, to where you're like a weather vane that you don't even understand what's happening to you.
But my body has felt like an old lady for the past 3 months, so I'd really like this rain to dissipate soon.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm done. I'm ready. I haven't played golf since I got snowed out in Bandon.
Yeah,
like, there's nothing going on.
I haven't got to play pickleball since Saturday, which is BS. Trying to get out on the courts again.
When do you think the next time you will play is?
Within the next week.
You think so?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. So you got the bug a little bit.
Yeah, because, okay, you got, and if it didn't rain, maybe I'd have played a little bit earlier. Maybe this weekend, maybe, if not this weekend, sometime next week after one of our shows. I'll go out there and play it all.
I got a tweet here from Eddie Carrillo. He says,
I'm reading it right now. Go ahead.
He says, not overly mobile or athletic, but knows the angles. Travis, the Austin Reeves of pickleball. That's actually a good compliment.
That's followed up by Anthony Rincon, who says, Trav, Kaplan pretty much said you're Bill Laimbeer at the net. Big guy that's great at the fundamentals and can still play with the studs on the court.
Laimbeer won.
I'll take Laimbeer.
Chips.
I'll
kidding
take
me?
I need one of those. Didn't Laimbeer wear that plastic
mask?
Yeah,
he did. Exactly. Yeah, he did.
He didn't get a chip at all. We got a consolation participation trophy, but we got the only consolation participation trophy, so we'll take it. That's it's not a bad way. Did you watch Mexico and Japan last
night? Yeah, I did.
How great was that?
I got caught up into it, man.
How could you not?
Okay, so I think it was 3-0 for the most of the game, right? Mexico up 3-0.
Yep.
And Japan, I think 2 innings in a row, had the bases loaded and couldn't score. So you're like, all right, well, this game's over, right? You just kind of assume if you can't score, I mean, a base hit, get some, make it somewhat of a game. That game was so exciting. Come all the way back, they tie it 3-3. Mexico comes right back in the next inning, get two more runs, and it goes all the way down to the bottom of the ninth. I'm not kidding. It was incredibly, incredibly exciting. And some of these guys, who's the guy that, this is the one that signed with Boston in the offseason?
Yeah, I'm going to get,
you don't even have to get, but
Yamamoto, I want to say.
It was amazing, and every time Shohei comes up, it's like
the barrel on that ball, the one down the right field line. Yep. That wasn't a good swing, but he's such a good hitter that he was able to keep the barrel in the zone, and he just kind of flipped it out down the right
amazing
field
game.
Line.
Amazing.
It was an amazing game. Performed by amazing, both the Mexican and the Japanese teams were really Randy. If you don't like Randy Arozarena, there's something deeply wrong with you. That guy is so much fun to watch play baseball. He robs the home run
and then just stands there.
So good. Like for a good 2 seconds, I'm like, did he catch it or not? Like I didn't know if he caught it and was like kind of styling it. I didn't know if he was frustrated that he missed it. I didn't know what had happened. And then you could see it just kind of through the webbing of his glove. It was great.
Next time we crack a good joke, just stand there. Don't no reaction.
It was terrific. Game tonight, U.S. and Japan for the championship of the World Baseball Classics. There's a million things to get into. There's Ohtani, there's Trout, there's the Dodger connection to all of this. There's a bunch of it, but I want to start with why this is so much more fun than Major League Baseball. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
USA, Japan, 4 o'clock today, World Baseball Classic Championship game. And I know that it's never going to come to this for a million different reasons because, namely, number one, money. Number two, baseball is not one and done until you get to game 7 or game 5 or whatever. How great is one and done in baseball? It's so random. One bad pitching performance and you could be out of the tournament like that. But how exciting has this been, knowing that if you have a particularly bad inning, you're out. And if you can just have one really good inning, you might steal a game. Japan is better than Mexico, not by a million miles, but they're a better team. Mexico was hanging the whole night. because Patrick Sandoval, who's an Angel, pitched his butt off.
Yep.
They got big hits from Arozarena, great defensive plays from Arozarena. They got a big home run from Urias. It was so riveting. I'm not Japanese. I'm not Mexican, but yep. I love baseball. And that one-and-done format of that thing just brings an unbelievable level of excitement to it. I loved every second of it.
You went, you mentioned this yesterday, and I'm going to go back to it. I think what gets me, even the one-and-done, if they're not that into it the way they are,
the players,
if the crowd, the players, yeah. if the crowd's not going crazy, you know, basically with every pitch, it's kind of funny. You know, my girl, who we watched part of the Cuba-USA game mm-hmm. on Sunday, and I told her, I'm like, yeah, Mexico-Japan are going to play later today, and then winner's going to play USA. You know, we have our little iPad there. She's basically watching the entire game. She's like in the kitchen doing whatever she's doing. She's got the iPad there. I'm like, who is this girl?
Yeah.
She was into it. Like, I honestly go back to it. I think it's so easily you can get into something when you could tell how excited everybody else
no
is.
No question.
And what you just said about the, you're only playing one game. You're either advancing or you're not. You're That's one element of it. Yeah. But I really think that the other element, which is just as important, is you could tell how much everybody who's either in the game or in the stands cares.
This is how you know much Japan cared about what happened. Here's the Japanese call of the walk-off hit that Ohtani leads off with a double.
Yeah.
They get a guy at first base. They're down by one. They got the tying run at second, the winning run at first, and then a ball gets smoked to center field to bring in both of the runs.
Murakami!
I have no idea what they're saying, but tell me they're not fired up. Yeah, they are so fired up. It was so great. And like you said, Al, and
they said, hold him at third.
Don't send him, send him. It was great. You're right that the players are, the second that ball was contacted, every Japanese player was over the rail running to home plate. Just awesome. You could feel the devastation from the Mexican players, the Mexican fans, because they were this close to winning that game, and it slipped through their fingers. It was terrific. I couldn't help it watching Arozarena do his thing, watching Patrick Sandoval lose his mind during that catch, watching the Japanese players celebrate the way that they celebrated. International baseball, in particular, baseball played in Latin countries, whether it's Mexico, Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, places like this. The fans with the luchador masks and the flags and the drums and the horns and the noisemakers and the dancing and all the, it is so much fun. And you watch an American baseball game, and if you bat flip, they put a fastball in your neck. Like, what the hell are we doing? How much more fun is this? How much more fun is it to see Randy Arozarena signing autographs in the middle of the damn game in left field and flipping baseballs into the outfield? It's just fun. It's baseball. This, we're not doing brain surgery. We're not doing anything particularly serious. I know there's a lot of money and all these things. But you can't tell me that's not more fun than, hey, we play the game the right way and we're not here to show anybody up. Alex Verdugo, who's on the Mexican team, was talking before the game. He was talking with Big Papi and A-Rod and Kevin Burkhardt before the game. And he's like, one of the things that makes this so great is that you don't have to worry about showing anybody up. Everybody knows we're not showing anybody up. We're celebrating the cool stuff that happens to us. We're not trying to embarrass you. We're celebrating our thing. We need a whole hell of a lot more of what we've seen in the WBC as far as enthusiasm and passion and just overall goofiness that makes this stuff so much better. This put your head down and run around the bases and don't show anybody up. It's so stupid and old.
Okay, so I don't have an answer to this, but is this a, it's a baseball thing. I think it's an American thing to
agreed.
An extent.
Agreed.
Right? I think that I remember this, and this was a couple years ago. It's just one example that I have. Remember that game? It might have been the Padres versus the Rangers, and Tatis hits a grand slam, but they're up by like six or seven runs.
Sure, right. And you're supposed to take the pitch or something.
You're supposed to take the pitch, and then the
like a 3-0 count or something.
The manager of the Padres waiting for him at the, you know, waiting for him saying, what are you doing? And there was this.
What am I doing? I'm being awesome.
Then this, then became this argument where it just kind of separated sides.
Yeah.
Old school baseball versus new baseball. Or just fans that are there for entertainment, fans that are no, this is the way it's been. I don't know if you can take some notes of what's happening here, but I think a lot of this, you got to ask a lot of these baseball players that are out there, which style do you want to play? Because this one is by far more entertaining.
No question.
This one is by far more exciting. This one's a better product. This one's going to probably get more
for
views.
Fans.
Better experience for the fans. It's going to be all that. Or do you want to go to something that's ancient? And I think we're definitely trending in the right direction because I think it could be the rule changes, whatever the case is. They're much more open to it. But isn't this? Can't this really just be set by baseball players? Can't this be set by managers? Can't this be set by? Isn't it on them to kind of figure out that portion of it?
What it is, and I'm going to
put fans.
I'm going to put somebody specific in the box here because he's always complaining about this stuff. Great player. Might even be a Hall of Fame player by the time it's all said and done. Madison Bumgarner is like the poster child for people that hate this kind of stuff, right? He's this, to use the vernacular, he's the old school, play the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets grumpy when people, you know, peacock their home runs and bat flip. And
yeah, he's chirping at you while you're rounding first. It's like, let the guy at least just get to second here.
And this is where Max Muncy goes, dude, go get it out of the ocean. Right, mm-hmm. That goes back, and that was awesome. Like, more of this and less of the Bumgarners of the world. I mean, Bumgarner's a great pitcher. He's had a great career. It's not that he's not a good player. It's, dude, will you lighten up? This is supposed to be fun, and nothing was more fun than what we saw last night. I watch a decent amount of Angels baseball. Shohei Ohtani is not an emotional guy. He's very, very stoic.
Freaking right? Having the time of his life in these
games.
He's
on second base. He just doubled in the bottom of the ninth.
Yep.
And by the way, you knew he was going to. You knew he was leading off that, and you're like, Shohei's going to do something here. He splits the gap. He runs. He's still amazing to watch.
Yep.
Easily. I was thinking maybe three off the bat. He's that fast. But double fist pump. He's screaming at his guys. He's super animated. As opposed to when he plays for the Angels, he would have slid in there and stood up, brush the dirt off of his knees, and wait for the next guy to drive him in. This is so much better.
So, I think we also got to understand, it's not like game 37 against the Diamondbacks.
No.
That's typically going to happen.
For sure.
But that's, I think the line you're trying to draw is, when it does happen, it's okay.
Embrace it.
When it does happen, it's okay. And I don't think, do you think any of those Japanese players, when they're celebrating or when Shohei gets his, you think he's pointing his cheering towards the pitcher? No, of course he's not. He's pointing at his own squad, at his own team. Now, there are some players out there, which I get it, I understand it, will hit a homer and will stare at that pitcher the entire way, and the pitcher's like, what the hell are you staring at me for? I get it. There are times where maybe there's a line to be drawn, but more times than not, that style, that product of that style is so much better than what you see on a night-in, night-out basis in baseball.
I want to take this a step further, and I'm not saying that 1+1=2 here, but there's something about when you're loose. There's something about when you're just having a good time. And think about it. Last night, there was incredible pressure on both of those teams. This is not it's an exhibition, whatever.
No,
it's
representing your country.
You're representing your country.
And
right?
They care.
You got a flag on your chest. Okay, the guys on that Mexico team were representing Mexico. The guys on the Japanese team, representing Japan. They both want to win for their respective countries. There's pressure to perform in these things. But because it's so festive, because it's so exciting, they're able to kind of let it out a little bit. I want to bring it to this. Do the Dodgers ever look like they're having a good time? Do they ever look like it's light and easy and fun? And I'm talking specifically about the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
When you're beating guys 11-4 every night in June, that's fun. Mm-hmm. It's cool. It's light and easy. But when you got into the postseason, and think about what they had last year against the Padres,
yeah,
and think about what they've had in a number of these series over the last few years, they're tight as a drum.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is, okay, we got to get it's tight and nervous and unbelievably tense. A little bit of nonsense. I'm not saying you don't take it seriously. Like I'm saying, last night, those guys are taking that seriously on both sides. But it was looser. It was exciting. It was passionate. If we could find a way to have the Dodgers be a little less corporate in those moments and a little more, let's just let this hang out,
yeah,
right? Let's just let it rip. Mookie's got that in him. You see Mookie playing for Team USA. We saw Mookie when the Dodgers did win the World Series that year. Ton of banging on his chest and the thing they do on their hat where they, you know, like do the tap on the helmet. More of that and less of the, you know, we're here to take care of business. Just have some fun
less
with this.
Less tight.
Less tight. Less, oh my God, we might lose. Just
okay, so
play
here, here's,
and think that
joy
it's gonna happen.
And see what happens.
Here's the question, because I think the theory of it makes a lot of sense. And I think when they go out, we've used this analogy a number of times. They are run like a Fortune 500 company that in tight situations, they're looking at the stock market and saying, oh my gosh, we just lost $3 in our stock and everybody's going crazy. Okay, like they are run like an absolute corporation. Here's what comes with 111 wins. What comes with 111 wins is don't screw up. Not enjoy it. Not go out there and get it. It's more don't screw up.
Sure.
Padres, I want to say, won 89 games, something like that. They played. It's not that they're not tight, but they played with no one's expecting us to win. The Phillies get to the World Series, take out the Padres in five games. Every game it looked like, I mean, every time they hit anything, just what you're talking about, the way Shohei was looking back into the dugout, that's kind of what the Phillies were for that entire playoff run. I think they have, when you have expectations like that, and you felt it going into the playoffs. Sure. Every fan felt in the playoffs. Sure. Dodger Stadium felt in the playoffs. I don't know what that balance is. Maybe that's a manager that can make you loose. Guys, we won 111. What are you paying attention to? We won 111 because we're that good. Go out there and enjoy this baseball game. And maybe that's the difference of all of a sudden these guys not being so tight. I felt it. You felt it. Everybody felt it for the Dodgers that they were tight.
They were, but I don't imagine probably not a lot more tension between opening up a National League divisional series against the Padres, then I'm playing for my country with a chance to go win the biggest international baseball tournament that exists. Like the pressure is kind of equitable. Look, Trey Turner, Mookie Betts, all these guys are talking about. Never been a part of anything like this. Mookie Betts has played in multiple World Series, and he's like, "This is as big as it gets. This is as exciting as it gets." So. The level of pressure, I think, is at least it's close enough to try to simulate it. And I know you can't do it in August against the Pirates. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You can do it against the Padres in October.
Yeah, you could tell in October.
You absolutely can. Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
It was amazing. So tonight's game four? 4 o'clock game?
4 o'clock game. Okay. And Ohtani will probably pitch against the American legend of Merrill Kelly. We'll talk about that matchup when we come back. It's Travis Slee. Merrill Kelly. What? 710 ESPN.
We do have the response from Scott Kaplan. He says, "Yo, Travis Rogers, I was trying to pay you a giant compliment." Right. So he's at least trying to be nice, Travis.
I totally believe.
Oh, no, he was trying to be nice.
No, it was sincere, and it was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice, but the phrase, this is like when Kurt Sandoval asked me if I was 63 years old on Saturday.
He wasn't trying to be
mean. He wasn't trying to say, "Oh, you look really old and terrible." It was, "Hey, I really like your show. We have something in common. I think we're from the same generation. You're about 63, right?" Well, not exactly.
Can't get the ball past you at the net. And that's what Kaplan was trying
to
reference.
Can't remember seeing you move.
We got our asses handed to us.
We did.
By Travis and Sliwa.
We did.
That was fun. You're right, though. Sonato did have the mic in his pocket and in his hand.
He was hanging out.
He was doing play-by-play while we're playing the match. So he was slightly
handicapped. They played a little bit later. I think that's when they played Berg and Yates. And I think he put the mic down and they were having a good
game. Did they beat Berg and Yates?
No, I think Berg and Yates won.
Okay. Yeah. Doesn't matter. We were the best team. Doesn't matter. Whoever finished, I'm not interested in runners-up.
It's just going to be pretty funny, man. I guarantee you there's going to be, at some point in the next couple of weeks, you and I are going to go play again.
I'll play. I mean, we have to make a date of it. Like, we have to tell me this time, this place, I'll play again. Yep. But
Rookie took out my paddle, bro.
Plus, I need sign-off on who our opponents are. Because I told you, I'll play just about anybody, but I won't play everybody. I do have some very specific parameters of what we'll go against. Matthew Pelosi in the Travis Slee community says, after his WBC take, the Cam brothers can never claim that Trav lacks whimsy anymore. I am unfortunately a jaded person by nature. I can be cynical at times. I try not to be, but I think my default setting is cynicism, unfortunately. If you don't like this, there's something wrong with you. And if you don't like baseball, I'm not going to do the soccer thing. Oh, you don't understand. If you don't like baseball, you probably don't like this. I get it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you like baseball even a little, the WBC, because you and I were talking during the breaks, Lee, other than USA v. Cuba, we've gotten like six real – Venezuela, U.S., amazing. Last night, amazing. Mexico, U.S., really, really good. Puerto Rico, DR, really, really good. Mexico against Puerto Rico, really, really good. We've had five or six games that are hanging on a pitch or two. And if you like baseball, one and done almost never happens until you get into game seven situations.
Or the wild card.
Wild card or game 162, winner is in, loser is out.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You just can't beat it.
So this is why I think this is a perfect example, because when World Cup was going on, I'm not a soccer fan in the sense that I'm going to go watch soccer games every Saturday. I'm watching the English Premier League. I'm just not going to do that. I could get caught up in the World Cup, no problem. And a lot of it has to do with these players are representing their country.
Yep.
The actual fans are insane how much they're into it. But you could, for a tournament, get into it and then kind of get out, right?
Yeah.
The WBC, I'm sure there's a lot of people watching that aren't watching games, all 162 games in baseball. They're getting caught up in a tournament that's incredibly exciting, representing their country. USA kind of keeps advancing, whatever the case is. That part is what I find fascinating. Now, when April 1st or whatever the opening day rolls around, okay, you're going to be watching a lot of these games, but it's going to be much more casual than what you're watching today. A
couple of things. Number one, the reason that the WBC for me is much, A, I'm just not a huge soccer fan. It's just not for me. Whatever. And I don't hate it, but it's just I don't know any of the players. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for me to get invested in something when I don't know, okay, he's the best guy. He's actually not a very good player, but he's playing out of his mind
right now. You know all these guys in baseball.
I know 90% of the guys playing in this tournament, I've been able to see him do it. The other part, you mentioned something, and I think this is going to be fascinating for Otani. It's going to be fascinating for Trout. And really, most of these guys, especially back, but can you imagine the hangover of playing in these games for the last two weeks or so? And now you're going to go back, and the opening day is exciting for these guys.
Yeah. But
now you're in the first week of the season, and Otani and Trout are playing against the Texas Rangers, knowing you got 157 more games left to go. Be like, oh boy, really? We gotta go through 6 months of this and hope that we get some of the good stuff in at the end of the line. The hangover from this will be real.
Especially for them, right? Especially for them. Because I think if you're a guy like Mookie, I think if you're a guy that you just know your squad's going to be good, or you've been to the World Series, or you've been in long playoff runs, you've won a World Series, especially for these guys. Because these guys, they could be, by the time the trade deadline comes around, maybe 6, 7, 8 games out of a playoff spot. Now, that could be different. And hopefully for the Angels, they are in the mix, so these guys got something to play for a little bit further down the road.
So my question for you guys, I guess you're kind of answering it as it goes along, is why the WBC is so interesting to you and March Madness is not. Because March Madness has the energy, the heart of the fans there. It has the excitement of the one, the single elimination. Mm-hmm. It has these people.
I got
the
answer.
Thing I think for you is you don't know the players, and the play isn't up to the snuff of a major, of a professional level.
Bullseye.
That's it for me too.
But the World Baseball Classic, it is up to a professional level.
As somebody who loves the NBA and is watching basketball almost every single night, when I watch college basketball product, it is so different than what professional basketball looks like.
But they make mistakes. There's the chance in there. That's
there's
why
there's mistakes, Sam. That's one thing. But
it's also just
bad.
Not a good product.
It's just not very good.
Now, listen, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to watch. Listen, I got SDSU that's in it. But for the most part, I'm going to watch Sweet 16 on. Now, I'm not going to sit glued to my TV, but I'm going to watch some of these games. Hopefully, the games get a little bit better. The stakes are getting a little bit higher. But for me, it has more to do with the product.
Yep, it's both. You nailed it, right? It's the product itself. I don't want to watch basketball games played in the 50s. It's just not super interesting to me, right?
But you watch the College Baseball World Series, but that's because
I'm a baseball guy, right? Exactly. And it's personal to me in that. And I don't want to say that the gap between professional baseball and college baseball is smaller. It's probably not. It's probably about the same. But it just, I like it more. And the other part is, I don't know any of the college basketball players. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Every guy on that American team, I know. I don't know how many guys were on the Mexican team. So 25, I probably knew 20 of them, right? The Japanese team, I don't know as many as that, but you know the most important ones that get by the way.
That's why I would watch for basketball. Yeah. I watch the Olympics.
Yeah.
I watch the USA basketball, or even if it's these other Argentina, Greece, whatever, I watch those.
Did you see the beginning of the game last night, the Japan-Mexico, the kid that pitched for Japan? Sasaki?
No, I started watching a little bit later.
Oh my goodness.
Stupid, crazy stuff.
Oh my God. He's 21. Okay. He just got into the Japanese big leagues, right? Mm-hmm. He throws 102 miles an hour. He has this split finger thing that just goes sideways that Smoltz, you know, Hall of Famer, yep, one of the best, yep, of his generation, is like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man. This kid's a problem. Like, he's like, once he figures out what he's doing, like, and he's got a pretty good idea right now, but once he really figures out, he goes, I don't know what to tell you. This guy might be unhittable.
It's my favorite when you can get Hall of Famers like that speechless. They're like, yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know what he's doing. He's 21.
He's 21, and they're thinking he might come to the big leagues like 24, 25, like year 24, 25, a couple of years from now.
Yeah.
But he looks like he's 14. He looks incredibly young, and he's just out there just mowing guys down through one bad pitch, and Urias hit it out of the ballpark. And you can see the kid was just like, I threw one, really? This is the level of play, one bad pitch, and I'm down 3-0? Because no one was coming anywhere near him.
You know what's funny?
He was wiping guys out. It was terrific.
I was thinking about this yesterday. It was very random, but when I was in, a couple years ago, I went to Japan, right? This was pre-COVID. And I went, I want to say we were in Kyoto. And I went to the baseball, I was trying to go to one of their baseball games, uh-huh, but they were out of town.
Okay.
So they were wherever they were. I think they might have been in like Hiroshima, well, whatever it was.
The Carp.
But I went to the stadium just to kind of go see it. They always have the, just like it would be like the—
Take
the,
a tour?
No, the stadium is actually open. So really? Anyone can go walk in, no, and cool, they could go. It was awesome. Very, very cool. I mean, I wish there was a game going. But the stadium was as if you went to Dodger Stadium and they left it open, even though the Dodgers aren't in town, and you could just go walk around. And then the Dodger store, the way that would be open, it's open there as well. Actually pretty cool.
That's
But
cool.
I did not get to see a game. I just thought about that because there's a vibe that comes with these, especially in Japan, that you're like, I got to see this
they're
for myself.
I mean, you.
Murakami!
They're into it.
That's game 14 of the regular season. The third inning.
They're fired up.
That was
right?
A double. Just
it was
a double.
So good. Ohtani had a line. I haven't played in a game like this in a very long time. Wonder what he meant by that.
Jeez.
I wonder what he meant by, yeah, it's fun. It's been a while since I played in a win-or-lose game, a playoff atmosphere game. Obviously, we couldn't lose, and I wanted to get the guys rallied up in the dugout. Huh. And you translate that for me?
You know, it doesn't have a quote like that, Mookie.
Is there any hidden meaning in there? Any hidden meaning in
there? Yeah, imagine Ohtani and Mike Trout playing the same team. That's crazy.
Two unbelievably funny tweets were going around last night. One was, Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani led their teams to the World Baseball Classic Championship game. Imagine if they were on the same team. Pretty funny. Pretty great. Cold-blooded. And then another one was Ohtani versus Trout in the World Baseball Classic. Loser or winner gets to leave the Angels. So they're coming in hot.
Play with their hearts.
Pretty great.
Ohtani's pitching 9 innings in that game.
Patrick Sandoval, not only local as in pitches for the Angels, local as in grew up in Mission Viejo, pitched his ass off for Mexico not once but twice in this tournament. He was terrific. They get something like that out of him during the regular season. Tyler Anderson pitches well. Who knows? Maybe they turn a corner. Hey, did you see? With Smitty coming up next. Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. Taylor, did you see that Slee and I were championship trophy winning pickleball runner-up participation award winners? Did you see that?
I'm really proud of you guys.
Thank you.
I just want to say that. And,
don't bring it in the studio. Don't bring it in the studio.
We got our asses handed to us.
We did.
By Travis and Slee.
We did.
I wanted to defend you, Slee, when Ireland came and smashed your trophy. I don't know. That was just... uncalled for.
Uncalled
for. It was a little crazy.
Undeserving.
A little crazy
undeserving
moment.
Too. Yes, all of the above. What do you got for us?
Okay, guys. Did you see that over 1 billion people in the world live in a desert region? So would you rather be stranded in the middle of the desert or floating in the middle of the ocean? Slee, what?
Desert. And the only thing that I could think, I'm drowning in the middle of an ocean. So that's. I mean, that might be a good thing, actually. It might take me 15 minutes to just stop swimming and then just call it a day and go down to the bottom of the ocean. But desert, I feel like I have sort of a very small chance of survival, which might draw it out even longer. It might make it actually even worse. While I'm out there, I might wish that I was in the middle of the ocean. But I'll go desert. I'll go desert on this
one. I think I agree with you. I'm picking the desert well because I feel like I could maybe pull a Saul Goodman and maybe I could get out. Like maybe I could walk for a few days and get through there and make it out to the other side. They made a movie about this that I didn't love, but I read the book by Laura Hillebrand called Unbroken, which is about this guy named Louis Zamperini, who, no.
Okay.
He was a World War II pilot, right? He got shot down over the middle of the ocean in World War II. His plane crashed. He and two of his guys were in this lifeboat floating in the ocean for days. Never thought that they were catching seabirds and eating them raw, okay? And drinking the blood and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, I'll take the desert. So when you started talking about being caught in the ocean or the desert, give me the desert. And then he went to a Japanese POW camp, came home, and became an Olympian. That it's the most unbelievable life story. Unbroken is the name of the book. Made a movie.
Wow.
It's an amazing
Unbroken
story. Unbroken.
Okay. Movie's awesome. Not as good, movie's but not the book is great. I actually read it in high school as part of
it's an amazing
English class.
It's an amazing story.
It is great. I think for all those reasons though, I think I would take the ocean because in the desert there you don't have the animals. You don't have the
snakes.
The
lizards.
Water.
Lizards.
You just don't have as much to eat and like enjoy that, but also when I think of being stranded in the middle of the ocean, I always think of Rom Ham episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia when they're out to sea and they have, oh no, the Rom Ham. Anyway, I know somebody will get that, not Travis.
Not me. I'm looking at Al like I don't understand the
I think
reference.
I remember that.
It's the New Jersey episode. They go to the Jersey Shore. It's Frank and it's Rob McElhaney's character out in the ocean and they float out to sea because they got too drunk on the Rom Ham.
If you know, you know.
The water polo in her, I think she's just more comfortable
she'll
in water
swim
than,
to shore.
Than
but
you
there's
and
sharks.
I would be.
That's not scary.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, did you see that two men in Newport News escaped their jail cell by tunneling through the walls? But they're only found later at an IHOP restaurant in Hampton. So, Travis,
both of those are in Virginia, actually.
Yes.
Travis, let's say that you've just tunneled out of prison. Okay. What's your first stop going to be?
In and out.
Yeah.
Right? That I'm going to not only am I going to tunnel out underneath the wall or through the wall or whatever Shawshank trick these guys use to get out of the prison in Virginia, I'm just going to stay subterranean until I smell the in and out. Then I'm just going to come straight up into the middle of the restaurant.
Double-double.
I'm going to come up through the floor.
Through the restroom.
Double-double, animal-style, chopped chilies, fries, well done, and a pink lemonade. And then I'll actually probably go back to jail because I bet it's quiet in there and get some sleep. Probably. I'm in for a blue-collar crime,
it
I'm
is
assuming.
A twin bed, though, Travis.
Yeah,
are you okay
yeah,
with that?
Yeah, that's not great, but I feel like I'd be a blue-collar criminal. I'm not a violent criminal, so I would be I'd be with the other white-collar guys. I'd be in one of those club feds, so I'd go back. Go crawl back through my tunnel.
I know I'm going to get caught, and I know it's only a matter of time, so if I'm going to go big, I'm going to go big. Or if I'm going to go at all, I'm going to go big. So get me to a steakhouse. Let's go directly to Mastro's. They're going to look at me and say, why is this guy wearing what he's wearing? But I'm just going to try to get that steak as fast as I can. Let me get
dash.
That ribeye. Let me get as much of, give me that mac and cheese out there. Give
good.
Me that bread basket that comes with.
Pretty
can I get good. A glass of wine real quick, too?
You get the seafood tower? And I mean, you're only in there for a while.
Get the seafood tower. And then before the bill comes and it's time to get out of here,
go back
I'm out.
Down the
I'm,
tunnel.
You're going to arrest me anyways. Let's get out of here. I got my food in.
Maybe I'd sneak into a movie theater and then work and stay in the projection area. So like maybe they're not like having a ton of people up there, so I can get in the rafters and hide out there for a long time, but also see a bunch of movies and that I didn't get to see in the clink.
Okay, last one, guys. Did you see that 70% of lottery winners lose or spend all of their winnings in 5 years or less? So, would you rather solve climate change but get no credit for it, or win the lottery? Sliwa.
Solve climate change, get no credit for it, or win the lottery? Well, I think we got
to
do the right thing here.
You don't
win
have
the
to.
Lottery. okay, well, if I win the lottery, then I'll try my best to try to help the environment and life as well.
Yeah, you'll have 5 years.
You'll donate some
it.
Money.
I'll do everything.
To the Arbor Society.
$45 a month will go towards that. Huh?
That's awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
Add that up in a year.
So you know where I'm going with this, right, Taylor? You've heard me talk about my fears of the environment and. Like, I
yeah,
know we're not supposed to talk
but
about
but you like some Trav.
I do like some Trav. That's true. There was a big UN report yesterday that said, guys, we're doomed. That came out yesterday. Like,
I've been saying that for years.
We're basically just about done. So, you know, smoke them if you got them was basically the takeaway from this thing.
Smoke them if you got them.
I've got,
I like
obviously,
that.
My three kids who I hope one day have families of their own. I would like to leave them a planet that is inhabitable. So I will give climate change. I'll take that with no credit.
Get the lottery. I mean, you can
again,
give them a lot of money.
Yeah, you can.
We can build them a bubble where my family can live peacefully with clean water and 70 degrees.
You can get them on that rocket ship out to the moon where they can like make that habitable. But I think that I would probably do the money too. If I'm going to be honest, I'm a selfish person.
That's it, guys.
That's it.
That's it.
That's how we end it. I love how she just said, because I'm a selfish person.
Give me the
money. And everything just went quiet.
Well, all of us, no, all of us nobody were like, pushed what? Back.
We're all selfish.
Nobody went, no.
That's not true, Emily.
That's not true at all.
Matthew Pelosi gets me. He did tweet out the Rumham gift, so I'm not crazy. This is what I'm talking about.
I didn't think you were crazy. I just don't know it. You know, it's like I don't have the,
it's a great episode.
The reference point for it. You would like Unbroken Sleep. If I can offer the Travis Book Club selection, where we put a double-double sticker on the front of the book.
I need a good book right now. All yeah, right.
You'd like that. It's incredibly inspirational, very sad, and terrifying.
You won't come into work for a week.
It kind of ends on a higher
note. It does.
Like he ends up okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. USC guy. Grew up in Torrance. Like it's kind of a local story. He grew up here. I want to say a stretch of the 405 freeway down by Torrance is the Louis Zamperini Highway. I'm fairly sure that
Google heard us, because I typed UN before I even got to B. It was like Unbroken novel book. They heard the whole thing.
They always do. I guarantee if you open Instagram right now, it'll be click here to order Unbroken to have it delivered to your door tomorrow.
How to survive in the water.
You know what I'm going to do? Whenever I'm in a bad mood, I'm just going to do this.
Oh. Can you believe?
Can you believe? Travis goes deep.
We need like a supercut. You're the musician. You put those two things together.
Can you believe that call was just the 2-2 pitch?
It's pretty great. It was a pretty great game. All right, Lakers, not tonight. Phoenix tomorrow. LeBron, Mark Spears. Who was it?
Windhorse?
Chris Haynes.
Oh, thank you, Emily. Chris Haynes says that the Lakers, they like their chances against a couple of teams. We'll talk about it next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.